The question was asked, what should be one's motivation to learn Torah and do mitzvot? And the question stems from a passage we learned in the Sefer Amidot, where the Magen Midovno discussed that the rewards that the Torah describes are not really the wages for our performance of mitzvot, but they just allow us to further perform mitzvot. They're part of the package deal, but they're not the wages. And this is similar to an idea the Rambam discusses. So the question was asked, okay, so why are we supposed to be doing mitzvot? And before we address this question, I think we have to understand a broader topic and then come back to this topic. In every action that we do, there are multiple factors motivating us. We like to focus on one of them. Sometimes we don't like to focus on one of them. But the truth is that there's rarely an action that can be distilled to one motivating factor. Let's take an example. You wake up in the morning, you want to rush out to work, and your child has a dirty diaper. And you know that if you don't do that diaper, your wife will have to do the diaper. So you go and do that diaper. Why did you do that diaper? So one guy will say, because I'm such a tzaddik. I care for my fellow man. I didn't want my wife to have to deal with the diaper. Another guy will say, well, I knew that by the time my wife got to it, the poor kid would have a diaper rash. Why should he suffer? A third guy will say, well, I knew my wife would really be upset at me if I didn't do it. So I don't care. I don't care about the diaper rash. I don't care about my wife. I care about myself. I want to have good supper tonight. You know, might as well, you know. There's a fourth guy and a fifth guy. Right? The fourth guy says, I wanted to eat breakfast without smelling that diaper. Come on, wait, get it. Right? Oh, so now you'll ask the average guy, why'd you do it? So a little bit of each, you know. I wanted to eat breakfast and not smell the diaper. I wanted to make my wife happy. I care for my wife. I care for the kid. I care for myself. I want to have a good supper. Are they mutually exclusive? No, not at all. They're all there, and it's fine that they're all there. The better a person we are, the more the motivating factor is going to be for pure reasons. But there's nothing wrong with the fact that we're human beings and there are many motivating factors. Your mother tells you to take out the garbage. Why'd you take out the garbage? Maybe because you were fed up of hearing your mother nag about taking out the garbage. Maybe because you wanted peace and quiet while you were taking out the garbage. Maybe because you wanted to be a good person. And maybe all of the above. We are complicated creatures, and maybe you wanted the good feeling of thinking, I'm a guy who takes out the garbage. I'm a guy who helps my wife out and changes the diaper. Maybe there are many reasons, and there's nothing wrong with it. You give money to tzedakah. One of the reasons I don't like giving money to tzedakah and shul is because I find it very hard to give money to tzedakah and shul and not think about everyone else who sees me giving money to tzedakah and shul. I'd like to be a bigger person than that. I'd like to be able to say that when I give tzedakah and everyone sees me, I don't care. I'm doing it for the right reasons. But I'm not yet there. So I don't like it. I don't like davening at Machon Meir for the same reason. I have a hard time thinking about the davening when I know everyone around me sees how long my Shemona Esrei is. So it's hard. I want to be true to my davening and focused on my davening. And if I have a long davening, it's because I'm talking to the Creator, not because everyone's looking at me. So you try to ignore that factor, and yet you say, but I'm not yet there. I do know that people notice, and I try to ignore that. But even the fact that I'm trying to ignore it is a sign of the fact that I'm aware of it, right? So we're all human beings, and we all have many factors that affect us. So when we speak about why should I be doing the mitzvot of the Torah, we have to give ourselves a little bit of leeway, meaning we spent a long time discussing in the Chafetz Chaim this idea that there's nothing so terrible if part of my motivation is that I want people to say nice things about me, and I want to feel good about myself. And we've been discussing this over and over again, that as human beings that are complex, so we have many, many motivating factors. There are extreme examples to that. And we try to work ourselves to the direction where our motivation is going to come from good places, and that's part of growth. But we shouldn't kick ourselves or be upset at ourselves because we're not yet there. It's a lifelong process. So now that we've defined that, now we could start discussing, okay, so what are the levels of purity? What are the levels of growth which we would want to grow in towards attaining a purer performance of mitzvot and Torah? But it's all questions of, is it, we'd have extra credit as kids, so you could have 110, or you could have 120, or 130, right? There's you got 100, and the question is, how much extra credit did you do? So I think it's important, especially at this stage of growth, that people look at it as, it's a question of, will it be 110 or 120? The fact that I'm keeping Shabbos is great. Now, I'd like to be keeping Shabbos, irrespective of the fact that everyone around me is going to notice if I don't. If I do or don't, then yeah, okay, that's a question of 100 or 110. I think it's important not to be hard on ourselves. It's great. A guy got up for davening. Then the guy tells himself, right, but I know that I get up because I feel like 2 cents. My roommate keeps getting up, and he's coming back from Vasikin when my alarm clock's ringing, and I'm not going to get out of bed and go to davening. I'm going to feel like 2 cents. So yeah, that's a big factor. Okay, but I'm going. End of the day, I'm doing what's right. I think we have to give ourselves that leeway and recognize that it's a work in progress. Our whole lives, we try to purify our intentions. Most people don't get very far, and that's why I wanted to quote this Rambam in his introduction to the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin. So I'm quoting from the translation of Rav Ibn Tibbon. The Rambam is discussing the world to come, all those fantastic questions you guys have been asking a lot all week. So the Rambam says as follows. He says, where do we begin? We're studying in the middle of a subject. V'ata ha-me'ayen, you, the person who's reading my book, tavin ze ha-mashal shani mamshil lecha, I understand the following allegory I'm going to tell you. V'az tachin libcha v'tishma dvarai b'chol ze. And then listen to what I have to say, and that's a long work. We did it one ben azman, and you could go online and hear the whole introduction of the Rambam to the 10th chapter of Sanhedrin, where the Rambam defines what is Olam Haba, what is Tchiyat HaMetim, what is the world to come, and all that. So that's, you're welcome to check online, and I'm just warning you that you probably will walk away understanding about as much as you understand before you hear it, because the Rambam is very hard to understand, and I don't think I did such a good job explaining it. You're invited to hear what he has to say. I don't want you to be frustrated afterwards. So at any rate, we're going to begin. The Rambam says as follows. He says, "Sheyesh bedatcha ki nar katan eviyu etzel hamlamed lilmot Torah." Think about a little kid who's brought to learn Torah. Vezeu hatov hagadolo leinyan ma sheyasig min hashlemut. Where, in essence, what we're offering him when we're teaching him Torah is the best thing in the world. He's going to start understanding what it means to be whole. He's going to have the capacity to grow and become a whole person. Ela shehu lemeot shanav vechulshat sichlo. But the child, because he's so young and he's got a weak brain, he's not yet so smart, eino mevin ma'alat oto atov. He doesn't appreciate how great Torah is. Velo ma sheyagiyehu bishvilo min hashlemut. Nor does he understand. He doesn't appreciate what he's going to benefit as a human being because he's learning Torah. So therefore, the teacher who's on a higher level, he's more whole than the child, he finds it necessary in order to encourage him with his learning. You encourage him with things that the kid likes. Yeah, my son came home the other day, said, "I learned, great dad, feel this." Smacks a pack of slime onto my hand. Ah, he learned great, so he gets a pack of slime, wonderful. Okay, so that's, he's all excited. He got a those little eggs filled with slime because he learned great today. Okay, so you give a kid what he likes, right? You know what it feels like, yeah, okay. So, okay, but you need to encourage him with what he likes. In the Rambam's days, they didn't have slime. They had nuts. So they tell the kid, learn and you'll get nuts. I'll give you nuts. Oteinim or figs. I'll give you a little honey. So the kid, now he's going to work really hard. He wants his slime. He wants his nuts. He wants his honey. Lo le'etzem hakri'ah, he doesn't appreciate that it's great to learn how to read, that it's great to learn Torah. Lefi she'eino yodea ma'alatan, he doesn't appreciate the importance of being literate. Ela kedei she'itnu lo oto ha'ma'achal, what he's working for is because he wants his honey, he wants his figs. Ba'achilat otan ha'mgadim etzlo yakar be'inav min hakri'ah. Now you ask the kid, what's more important? Slime or Torah? He's going to tell you slime, for sure. Come on, what are you kidding? I'm learning Torah in order to get the slime. Obviously, slime is worth more. I'm learning Torah to get a date, so the date is worth more than Torah. That's what he cherishes. V'tov harbe belo safek. You ask him what's better, and he'll tell you, come on, we all know. I remember my first grade teacher once asked me, is there anything you like about school? I said, yeah, recess. So she was shocked because I was a good student. She was like, come on, you don't enjoy learning? I said, yeah, but recess is better. Okay, you ask a kid, and for sure, right. You know why I remember it? Because I was in such shock to see her shock. I remember the conversation. I remember where we were standing, and I was looking at her like, you know, I thought she was an intelligent teacher. You know? Yes, the kid, he's going to tell you very simply. Sure, it's much better to have his toys than the learning. He tells you learning is work. I'm only doing it to attain that thing which I like. What's he working for? A nut. Oh, chatichat vash, or a piece of honey. Uchsheigdal v'yachzek sichlo. Now the kid then grows up. He gains his intelligence is stronger. Ve'ekal be'enav oto ha'davar sh'aya etzlo nichbad milfanim. And then, you know, peanuts, that's already peanuts. Come on, he's not going to get excited over that. Now, v'chazar le'ov zulato yizarez oto v'yorer tavato b'oto ha'davar ha'chamud lo. So then you got up the ante. The kid's older, he's more sophisticated, he's not going to work hard for peanuts, so you got to figure out what he likes. So the teacher tells him, "Kra v'eten lecha minalim yafim." You tell him, learn, and I'll buy you nice shoes. You see, Nike didn't invent the idea of expensive shoes. The Rambam already talks about buying a kid expensive shoes. Okay, I'm not sure I'm for buying the kid expensive shoes, but he says, okay, obgadim chamudim, I'll get you a nice jacket. Uveze yishtadel likro lo le'etzem alimud, ela le'oto amalbush v'abegid ahu. He's working hard because he wants to get that, you know, whatever it is. So you ask him what's more precious, Torah or the sneakers? For sure the sneakers. And the whole reason he's learning is to get that. And as he grows and now he's more intelligent, and then he says, who needs Nike sneakers, right? Yasim nafsho lemashu gadol mize. So then you have to encourage him with something even better. V'az yomar lo rabo lemod parsha zo perek ze v'eten cha dinar echad. I remember when we hit sixth grade, the Rebbe would say, if you get tested on a page of Gemara and you know it by heart, you get $5. My day that was money. It's like $20 today. Right? $5 for each daf you knew by heart. So the Rambam says, yeah, when the kid grows another notch, you offer him, I'll give you this coin if you learn well. And he keeps thinking the money is more precious than the learning. And then when he will become even more intelligent. And then he says, who needs money? Oh boy, so he's getting really big. So then he wants something more. So what do you tell him? You tell him, learn, so you will become a rabbi. People will honor you. So you see, even when he's in rabbinic school, don't expect him to learn for the sake of the Torah, but he's smart already. He's not even interested in gold and silver. Right, but he needs that goal. People will honor you. Look, they'll look up at you. They'll stand up when you walk into the room. Look at so-and-so. Don't you want to be like him? That's what's going to get him to learn. You're talking about a guy who made it to rabbinic school. Oh, boy. So look at what the Rambam's telling us. And then he's going to work hard to attain that level. And all that, says the Rambam, is not the right way, right? That doesn't seem like such a nice way to grow and learn. But, says the Rambam, because people are not so smart, because people don't value what's really valuable, so we have to work with carrots. Technically, person should be smart enough to know, I'm learning because it's good for me to know. Torah is the greatest thing in the world. But we don't work that way. We don't have that appreciation. So when a person comes to learn, a person says, what am I learning for? What am I going to attain? So you have to show him he's going to get something. So the Rambam goes on to discuss how much of the promises that we find, much of the descriptions, I'm sorry, not promises, much of the descriptions that Chazal give us about wages is because the average person finds it very hard to learn without a feeling I'm getting something. And so you have to show him, okay, you're going to get A or B or C. And the Rambam says that this is true even for big people. Meaning, the Rambam didn't just give this as an example, the rabbinic school. The Rambam quotes from the story of Antigone, Antigonos Ish Soho, whose two disciples were already top Talmidei Chachamim. And when they thought that there was no world to come, so they left the fold. They became apostates. Meaning, even when a person's big, he needs that feeling, I'm working towards something. So for some people, if they imagine, I'm going to get a world to come, when there's going to be a lot of goodies, I don't know what you like. You know, when I was a kid, it was Kit Kats. I don't know what, M&M's. I don't know what, But every person on their level, some people like to read the Mishnah that describes the world to come is better than all the pleasures of this world. 1 second in the world to come. A person does need that feeling. So for one person, it's the feeling, they're going to call me rabbi, I'm going to become a giant in Torah, and who knows what. For another person, it's a different feeling. But you see, the Rambam assumes that 99.999% of humanity will need that goal. Meaning, it won't be enough that a person can say to himself, this is the best way of life, this is the best thing in the world, and I'm meriting to do that. The truth is that it is. But the truth is that we don't have that great brain power, as the Rambam says, to appreciate it and to be excited over it. So we're like the kid. Give me a little egg of slime and for that I'll learn. But you talk to me about the essence of Torah and the greatness of Torah? No. So now we go back to what we began with. Why should a person learn Torah and do mitzvot? So on the truest level, we could say, God said so. So, no questions. Do it. But that doesn't change the fact, like the Rambam himself writes in the Yemenite epistle, that the best way of life in this world, forget the world to come, there are benefits you reap right now. The way of life a person lives, when a person lives a Torah lifestyle, so he enjoys life to its fullest here. That might not be the wages, but a person does need carrots, so that's one of the carrots a person can enjoy. There are the promises of the Torah, so even though the Magen Midvna told us that's not the wages for the mitzvos, but a person still enjoys that, there's the idea of Hashgacha Pratit that the Rambam writes, that the greater a person is, the more Hashem actively watches what happens in his life and ensures that it plays itself out correctly. There are many benefits and perks, and even though on a true level they're not the essence, that's not why I'm keeping Torah, but it's okay if that's part of why I am keeping Torah. Maybe it shouldn't be why, but like the Rambam said, we're not on that level. If the Tanoim weren't on that level, so how could we expect ourselves to be on that level? So that means, yes, on the truest level, a person should aspire to be, if we're going to say, as we discussed in the beginning, there are components, there are different reasons, so we try to make it to raise the percentage of the motivation to be from 1% to 5%. If a person could say, for 5% of my motivation is the fact that this is the right thing to do, this is what Hashem wants, wow, that's a tzaddik. I don't think most people have it even as 5%. To aspire for it to be 100%, I don't think we're there. So if we're going to divide our motivation, so we should have certain carrots. There are benefits in this world. There's a world to come, which Chazal described to us. It's the best way of life right here. There are rewards that are waiting right here. And aside from that, there's also this idea, which is really, on a true sense, that's the completest idea, that this is the right thing to do. This is the most right thing to do. And I think that for For the average person, if that's a 5% component of his motivation, I think that's perfect. I don't think people can attain that much more than that. We aspire our whole lives. Maybe one person will get to 10%, another guy will get to 20%. I don't know if anyone really gets to much higher than that. That's what we see from the Rambam in the end, that we all need that motivation. It's very hard for a person to expect himself to get better than that. And that goes back to a question you asked about making a bracha, more kavana, less kavana. Saying in all our life, we have to know that we're working to raise that percentage, but we're working in a small range. To get it to be 100% for the sake of the mitzvah, we see that when one rabbi tried it back in the days of the temple, his students left the fold. They couldn't handle it. And it was too high for them. So you had one, Antigonus Ish Socho, he was on that level, but his students already weren't. And this goes back, how many millennium ago? You're talking about over two millennium ago. You're talking about when the rabbis were on a huge level at the beginning of the Second Temple. And even so, they couldn't handle it. So I don't think a person has to aspire for such a high percentage of pure service of Hashem for the sake of the fact that Hashem has said it and it's the right thing to do. That's, you know, fine. It's like the guy wakes up in the morning and he doesn't like the smell of the diapers. He wants his wife to give him a good supper. He doesn't want to be yelled at by his wife. He doesn't want the kid to have a rash. So he's not on that level where he says, yes, it's the beautiful thing to do. Bin adam l'chaveiro, I love the kid. And I want what's good for him. And I want what's good for my wife. And it has nothing to do with the fact that the stinky diaper is bothering me here. Or that my wife will be upset at me if I don't do it. Or that she'll be happy with me if I do do it. All those are non-factors. Yeah, okay, maybe there exists one person like that. I don't know. I don't think so. Let's put it this way. I wouldn't trust the person who told me that. If someone said it about himself, I wouldn't believe him. So within all those components, we're working to raise that component of doing it for the pure reason. But like the Rambam writes, we're all contending with the fact that we're more interested in the nut or the honey or the suit or the gold than the real ideal reason. And that's okay. That's the way we are.
So I was thank you. I appreciate that answer. But I was also wondering, in terms of, if the Torah, okay, the Torah does not tell us about Olam Haba and illustrate what it is that we are